نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد: فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد مدد الجود والكرم. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد هادي الفضل والرحمة. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلي وصحبه وبارك وسلم. اما بعد،
الحمد لله، praise be to Allah. Ramadan, the blessings of Ramadan, the blessed days and the blessed nights, with the mercies they have, they are continuing, ongoing. Fortunate are those people who are looting and grabbing through the nights of Ramadan, through the days of Ramadan, and they are filling their treasure chests and they are allowing the mercies to come into their hearts. Fortunate are those people. Fortunate are those people, alhamdulillah, who are making preparations for their hereafter, who are regretting their sins, who have got regret and remorse for their sins, who are letting the tears flow and their hearts towards Allah. They're turning their hearts towards Allah when it's night time. In the night, these blessed nights of Ramadan, alhamdulillah, with lengthy prostration, with long du'as, with regret and pleading Allah, they spend the nights like this. And when it's daytime, then alhamdulillah, with dhikr, with remembrance of Allah, with attention towards Allah, and with caution, they are spending their life carefully. This is the life of a mu'min, a believer, an example, a role model, to which, about which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, Allah ta'ala addresses the people of Iman. And for them, the people of faith, this life, this is the life Allah ta'ala says, I want that all our life passes like this. And our connection with Allah, our relationship with Allah, always and for always, is not just for 30 days, rather it's forever and ongoing, on and on. We should make a connection with Allah. Just like today, we are dependent and we are aware. We want to be safe from sins. We want to run towards good deeds. And this is the life of a mu'min all over. This is the real life that a human being desires, that we spend our time and our life in this way, with a concern, with a fikr, with a worry. So my brothers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this opportunity before death comes to us. Before death, after death, we won't get this chance. Death, Allah Ta'ala shows as well. Death, Allah explains what is death. Allah Ta'ala explains it to us in detail. One sahib, one individual recently, he was saying that I prayed salah. I was praying tahajjud, I just finished tahajjud, and then to keep the fast, he said, then I lay down after that, just like a person lies down on the right side. And he said, I was still awake, I was still conscious, and then I saw that the angels had come and they started to pick me up. And he said that I was very surprised. Straight away they picked me up, the angels, and with speed they took me up to the heavens. like some rocket. You know, a rocket shoots up vertically towards the sky. He said it was speed. They were taking me up, shoot right up to the skies. He said, I was awake, conscious. He said, what's going on here with me? Straight, I was lying down. And when I looked around me, the dunya was below me. All the world, I could see moving, the light and the glow and the glitter, and people are moving. He said, I'm going up, ascending high. He said, then I couldn't understand. I was confused, what's going on here? Then I started to cry. And where are you taking me? He said, I was crying. I've got young children. You're leaving them behind. For the sake of Allah, please take me back down. And the angel said that he has died. Yeah, don't you know? That it's your body we're taking. You have come out of the world. So now tell me, can there be any greater reality than this for a person, a reminder? And this reality, if it happens to us, then what will happen? This will happen. You won't even know. You'll be lying down with ease and comfort, and you'll have future programs, schedule plans, lengthy plans. Within a second, he said, I was amazed and shocked. All my planning had just stopped there. Stopped. And with such speed, he said, they were taking me up, 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 up towards the skies. He said, I couldn't move, I couldn't do nothing, I was totally frozen. Allah Ta'ala sometimes shows this example to people. So if a person asks the question, that if he asked the angels at that time, that you, did you prepare in your life? What preparation did you make? If the angels asked me then. Yes, one preparation in this life that we need to do, my brothers. One preparation. Just one preparation we need to make. There's no lengthy revision, lengthy getting your goods together. Allah's given us the whole Ramadan to remind us. Allah's given us the whole life to remind us. Just one action you need to do to prepare, Allah says. Just no big shot. Don't have to do no lengthy action. No long plotting and planning and mujahada and striving and effort. No. That's it. What did Ramadan give to us? What does it teach us? Just one action if you do it and you'll earn the whole of Ramadan. Alhamdulillah. Just one action. Just one amal. And that is the complete preparation for a believer, for a mu'min inside that one action. What is that action? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu tubu ila Allahi wa tawbatan nasuha. That's it. That's it. Oh, negligent human being, oh, lazy man, okay, you've committed sins, you've done errors, but just do one action. That at least ask Allah for forgiveness. What a great promise Allah is making. Asa rabbukum an yaghfirakum sayyi'atikum. That who can give you this belief? Allah says that your tawbah, repentance in front of me is very important, Allah says. It's got a lot of weight. Greater than all your ibadah worship, the greatest ibadah you can do is do tawbah to Allah, repent. Allah is telling us this. Allah says, I give you Ramadan every night, I'm calling out to you, every moment I'm calling out to you, every second, every night I'm calling out to you, Laylatul Qadr. There's no other action. I'll just call out for this request, Allah says. Allah says, I'm reminding you, reminding you, reminding you repeatedly. But Laylatul Qadr comes and goes. Days come, Ramadan comes, Taraweeh comes, Quran comes. Everything comes to us. Everything we do. But we don't ask Allah for forgiveness. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. We don't ask Allah for forgiveness. We don't request forgiveness. From the beginning, the first second, Allah is saying, I'm giving you Ramadan for this reason. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. Just like I gave to the previous nation, I'm giving to you. The whole Ramadan I'm giving for this purpose, this mission. I don't need your hunger, I don't need your thirst, I don't need you to stop drinking. Why do I tell you don't go to your wife? I have made you do nikah myself, I introduce you to your partner myself. I am giving you food from the earth and such plants and vegetables, and sheep are ready for you to be halal, chickens are ready for you to become halal. Food is there, animals, chicken shops, meat shops, go and buy your food. I've given you everything, Allah says, it's me giving you. So why do I need to stop you doing all these things? What benefit is there for me, Allah says? Why should I stop you from enjoying yourself in the world, eating, drinking, enjoying yourself? Why should I stop you, Allah says? What benefit do I get, Allah says, by making you stop these things and temporary prohibition. Allah says, I'm just reminding you, Allah says, O ghafil, lazy human beings whose hearts you've become like this. Allah says, I'm just reminding you, refreshing you by weakening your nafs, your desires, and weakening your body, that you with your Rabb, your Lord, you can just ask Him for forgiveness. That's all I want. Because your needle is in the same place on the speedometer, on the mileometer, it's in the same place. Your needle. Oh, I'm waiting for an angel. If an angel was to come now and interview the whole Ummah, not 1% amongst us, we're going on Umrah, Hajj, Tawaf, Kaaba, and Multazam, we're giving our presence there, Dua, Sujood, Prostration, Riyadul Jannah, we sat there, Tasbees, we're rotating, everything we're doing. But we come back, we're still the same, back to square one. That same nonsense, same rubbish talk, swearing at people, and gossip mongering, hatred, malice, fighting, and hatred against people, and backbiting, and slander. Ramadan's gone. And why are we happy? Oh, Ya Rabb, I'm happy, mashallah, he done lots of worship on Ramadan, he did Umrah on Ramadan, we did Hajj, I've booked the ticket for Hajj, I've done this, I've done that. All stories we've got to our name. Lots of stories. Am I right, tomorrow? But one action Allah Ta'ala has told us to do, He's prescribed us one action our whole life. Okay, fine, you committed a sin, no problem, Allah says. No worries, no issues. Asa Rabbukum. Allah says, definitely believe in this. Allah says, the ayyakfurkum siyatikum. Allah says, I'll forgive all your sins and it'll be you going into paradise. I'll enter you into paradise, Allah Ta'ala says. Tell me, but we don't want to do this action. No, we'll be finished. We can't do tawbah. No way. It's too hard. It's impossible. It's beyond us. Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in one majlis, 70 times over, he did tawbah to Allah. Yes, and he had no need to do tawbah. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, due to him, his association, we get tawbah. And he's telling us that, look here, this is how I submit to Allah. I've got in front of me, behind me, there's danger, there's sin. In front of me, there's sin. There's no hisab, no kitab. I've got no sin to my name. You, I'm the Prophet, and you are immersed in the sins. And once you can't say from your mouth, oh Allah, forgive us, we can't say once to Allah, Allah, forgive me. Why? Is this the case? Is this not the hal of the Ummah today? Where's the Ummah gone? Where is the Ummah? What is this the sign of? This is the sign of the human being. His heart is like a black rock. Black burnt out rock. Because we don't want to obey our Rabb, our Creator's instruction. I'm fine. Doesn't matter what happens, I'm fine. Whatever my peesab said, that's fine. He said, I'm forgiven. I'm an ashik lover of Rasulullah. Oh, mashallah, they give a certificate straight away, the sheikh, to the student that he's forgiven. Yes, why do you go to such places when they give you deception and false lies? And their heart knows that this man is wrong. Even then they go, that the student who's going to such a place, he knows that that teacher is wrong. Even then he goes there, oh, this man's not right, he's just taking shortcuts, he's deceiving us. Even then we go there to get guidance. Yes, he's tricking you, he's deceiving you, he's not preparing you for the hereafter. 1%. He doesn't let you come to Tawbah. He says, no, you're fine, you're sinful. Allah is Rahim, Kareem, Allah is generous, Allah will forgive you, Allah is Ghafur Rahim, you can carry on. You can do what you want, no worries, follow your desires. And that's why a man goes there to that source of guidance, so called, because he's getting enjoyment of life. And Allah Ta'ala has told to us that, look, do one action, Jannah is open for you. Here's Jannah, vast. Allah, I'm not saying to you, don't ever commit sins in your life. Has Allah ever said this to us? Don't commit sins in your whole life. It's impossible, but we don't listen to Allah's advice. The whole of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala has laid out clearly. There was an alim, and he came to meet me, a scholar. An alim. And he's a scholar, mufti, big knowledge, technical knowledge. I said to him, when he came to meet me, he said, Tawbah. He said, what's this ayah, what's this Tawbah you're telling me to do? He said that you're taking unique meaning of Tawbah out from the Quran. Yes, the whole Quran about the Tawbah, so many verses Allah Ta'ala has revealed and explained to us about repentance, turning to Him. But we don't listen to Allah. We're not interested. Now you ask your own iman. Yes, is there anything else in Ramadan apart from tawbah? Repentance? It's just tawbah upon tawbah. The whole 10 days Allah says maghfirah, ashra. This ashra is maghfirah, forgiveness. These 10 days we're passing through. Then the whole of Ramadan, the theme in one night Allah sealed. Alf shahr, greater than 1,000 months. Greater than 1,000. What's the message of that night? What's that message? Just one message of that night? The night of power? That ask Allah for forgiveness. Yes, Laylatul Qadr and Laylatul Qadr. I'll tell you the method of how to earn Laylatul Qadr. Say Subhanallah. I'll tell you the method. Immediately you'll get Laylatul Qadr with this method. Laylatul Qadr, if you want it, then just nod your head, submit your head, go into sajda and ask Allah for forgiveness. That equals Laylatul Qadr. You will attain Laylatul Qadr immediately. Yes? Yes, a person who asks Allah for forgiveness, and he promises to Allah, he asks Allah for forgiveness, and he says, Allah, that I will do this from now. No, that's too hard. We can't do that. The rest of the prayer and recitation, Ramadan comes, Hajj days will come, they will go, all the blessed days will come, and we'll just let them pour down the drain. We won't do tawbah. Lying. Yes, lying is just, we've embraced it. We can't do any action in life now without lying. How will we do tawbah then? How will we repent? Yes, can a person who lies do tawbah, tell me? And there's no bigger sin than lying. Lying is the biggest sin. There's no bigger sin than lying. No severe sin than lying. Ummul Khaba'ith, the mother of the evil. It's the root cause of all sins is lying. It's the fountain of all sins is lying. Lying from the tongue, lying from your hands, lying from your actions, lying from your movements. Everything you do to deceive and to a falsehood, that becomes a lie for that person. And you don't even know you're doing wrong, it's a lie. So how will you do tawbah and repent? With lying. So much the human being, through a method, he accepts that I'm fine, I'm okay. After tawbah, Allah Ta'ala's doors open up for Allah's mercy. First is the door of repentance. Then Allah's doors of mercy and generosity open up. His blessings. First is tawbah. The Sahaba Ikram, the noble companions. What great personalities there were. What nur light Allah instilled into the Sahaba. What great human beings Allah Ta'ala gave to his Habib Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as his students, his friends, more than 100,000, about whom Allah says that the Sahaba, they are my stars in the sky. They are the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that they are the stars in the sky. Every Sahabi was a star in the sky. That he glows and shines in the sky, the Sahaba. What is a star? Star shows light, gives you guidance. It emits light. Example, doesn't matter how much intense darkness there is, and you're stuck in a trap, in a conundrum. But my Sahabi, if you take his guidance, any Sahabi, he is a star, he will guide you to the truth. Anyone who will make Shafi, somebody will become a Maliki, somebody will become Hanafi, somebody will become Hanambali, no difference. But behind that is the stamp of the Sahabi. End of story. Guidance is there. The Sahaba is there, and behind all these schools of fiqh, no problem. There's no greater dalil proof than the life of a Sahaba, of the Sahabi. Because the companion says that I heard from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam these words, Subhanallah. SubhanAllah, imagine, like if I'm saying to you today, and you're sat in front of me, right here now, live and direct, then such the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was present and the Sahaba were listening live and direct. Imagine their glory, the Sahaba. Imagine their status. Imagine, and the Holy Prophet, the master of the two worlds, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his words, the enjoyment of his company, his compassion, his love, his affection. And one Sahabi is sitting and he's listening to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Ummah, such favors the Sahaba did on the Ummah, if we imagine their favors, that the Sahaba, they weren't worried about themselves, they had no feelings and emotion and regard for themselves, that whenever they had asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam a question, they were looking towards the benefit for the Ummah that was going to come in the centuries after that. Even today, the hadith we see that Sahabi said, and he came and he asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said to the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and how did that question and the answer come to us? Most definitely the Sahabi had the intention, I'm asking for the benefit of the Ummah, for their goodness, for the benefit. One Sahabi came, a companion, ajeeb, unique, Sahih Bukhari and Muslim hadith, this is authentic. And he said, O Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, look at the question the Sahaba is asking. This companion. Sahabi, look at his mindset, his ideology, his desire, his compassion, his feelings for the Ummah. And his style and his connection with the Prophet ﷺ. Think for a moment. What was his connection? He said, "O Prophet of Allah ﷺ, can I request something? Can I ask you a question?" The Prophet ﷺ said, "Yes, you can request." He said, "O Prophet of Allah ﷺ, the best and greatest Islam is what?" Subhanallah. Subhanallah. What a question. Imagine. Yes, he had no other sorrow, no pain. He said, he didn't say, what's the best car, what's the best house, what's the best, what runs with electricity, with the gas, and where will we save, and where will we get more increase. So look at his desire, the Sahabi. He had no concern about dunya, no concern about assets and materialistic things. Yes, whatever they got to fill their stomach with, that was fine. And they'd leave the dastarkhan. They'd just take what came their way. Where will we get the greatest thing? The best food, the most delicate. This is dunya. Where's the most tasty thing, the best thing, most expensive thing, glamorous thing? Dunya we run after. Did the Sahaba not know about dunya? Were they not aware about the world around them? MashaAllah. Did they not know how to live in the dunya? No, no. We are the people of wisdom today. The Sahaba knew nothing. Astaghfirullah. Is that what we think? So he questioned to such a personality that in front of him, if you ask any question, then subhanAllah, he'd give you the answer to go into paradise. So what was he asking? Do you want Jannah, paradise? SubhanAllah, they used to do dua to Allah, that Allah, please, they'd ask the Prophet to do dua and he would make it accepted. He said, what do you require? What great moments, many events like this. So one Sahabi, he liked the khidmat, that he used to keep the water in the vessel for the Prophet and the Rasulullah ﷺ, like that khidmat, that service, the service khidmat is a great thing. Even I know this, that the wali Allah, the friend of Allah, if they like your khidmat, such a dua comes out that you succeed with that dua. If you do service khidmat, such mashallah, I attain success. That I will tell you like the example of my sheikh as well along the way. The wali Allah, it was the 3 a.m. in the night, Ramadan time, it was silence in Haram Sharif. And in one corner, me and Hazrat Sahab sat. Everyone had gone left. Everyone had gone. They'd got tired, exhausted. Who was sat there? Hazrat Sahab, me, Ramadan, no food, no drink. Subhanallah. Everyone had kept the fast. Umrah, there was rush. And Taraweeh after Taraweeh. Then everyone's exhausted, tired. Yes, so the Sheikh sitting there, and the third class murid, they sat there behind him. And he didn't know. Hazrat Sahab didn't know. And mashallah, until today I cannot forget that scene. Such silence of noor was there in Haram Sharif. Light spreading out. Suddenly, one side was the noor of Hazrat Sahib and one side was the noor of Kaaba. And both noor in between I was sitting. So when I'm both in between, I was watching both noor, the Kaaba and Hazrat Sahib. Both light. Then Hazrat Sahib, my respected teacher, everyone has their eyes and their vision. Subhanallah. So Hazrat Sahib, I think it was approximately 3 a.m., 3:15 a.m., tahajjud time. And Hazrat Sahib just slightly moved to the side. I said, "Oh, Hazrat Sahib is a need, definitely." Because he never said anything from his mouth, blessed mouth. He just sort of, you know, he just came out of Muraqabah. Because he was in Muraqabah all the time. Always in that sitting in Muraqabah meditation. I thought, there's a reason Hazrat Sahib moved to the side. Immediately I went forward. And I said, "Hazrat Sahib, please instruct me. What shall I do? Please, I'm at your service." Hazrat Sahib said, "Faruqi Sahib, you're still here sitting." I said, "Yes, where am I going to go?" "Hazrat Sahib, I'm here with you. It's time soon." I said, "No worries, Hazrat Sahib. I'm here. So I'm going to say I'm here sat for you." "No, no, these dramas, you can't run these dramas in front of the Sheikh. No drama, I'm sat here for you. I'm here for you." "No, I just say, Hazrat Sahib, I'm here. Where am I going to go? I could have gone somewhere. There was no place to live. Stay." It's not that. I didn't say I'm here, sat here for you. I just said, "Hazrat Sahib, I'm here, yes." So, I don't want to show off too much. I was sat here for tawaf or showing that I'm just doing your khidmat, I'm at your service. No. Just be silent, simple, humble. Hazam, just sat at the back. There was no place. I thought I'd just stay here. Hazrat Sahib said, "Okay, enable me to do wudu." "Allahu Akbar." "Assist me in doing wudu." "Subhanallah." Haram Sharif, Allah's home. Arif Billah, the ghaus of his time, kutub of his time. And this fakir, this beggar who's got nothing to his name, he asked me, "Assist me in doing wudu." There's silence, there's darkness, no one's there, no hotel, no water, nothing. I ran, and whatever I could do, mujahida, work hard, I got some water together. And Hazrat Sahib was here, she just came from Babul Wada, and he sat on the steps. And there wasn't like today, it was a different haram in those days. Decades ago, there's restriction now, this and that, hurdles you have to cross. It was the whole old haram, blessed haram. And Hazrat Sahib sat on the stairs just outside the door. And then I ran around here, there, enabled something, and got some water in a vessel in the hotel. And I'm helping Hazrat Sahib to do wudu outside haram. And I'm learning how to do wudu at the same time. The Wali Allah, how does he do wudu? You should learn these things, isn't it, when you're in the company. Subhanallah. So then Hazrat Sahib looked towards the heavens and did dua, prayer. And then in that dua, subhanallah, obviously, where's the dua going? It was after that. Then we went back. I took Hazrat Sahib's hand, and Hazrat Sahib used to take his hand. He was daif, and he was elderly. I took Hazrat Sahib back to the same place, to the musalla. Hazrat Sahib sat down. And he said, come in front of me, Faruqi Sahib, subhanallah. Oh, hi, hi. 25th sabak, Hazrat Sahib taught me then. The 25th lesson. Isme Zahir, that sabak I got that time. And that Isme Zahir, the reality of Isme Zahir. Subhanallah. And Hazrat Sahib, when he explained to me that sabak, that lesson, the heavens opened up for me, the earth opened up for me. Yeah, Rabud Hazrat Sahib gave me that time, innit? Sabak he gave to me, he said, do this lesson, do this dhikr. So the friend of Allah, the Wali Allah, if this is his hal, alhamdulillah, if their heart is happy, their hands raised and they do dua. So don't be waiting after this, what will I get? Just what if I do, what do I do now? This is the greedy person. Don't be worried about what's going to happen afterwards. Just lillahiyat, for the sake of Allah, faqir, khidmat, just run after his khidmat. That's it. End of story. Don't look for the future. I'm not going anywhere. This is, I'm going to find Allah from it. Don't look for Rabud. Oh, when will the dua happen? When will I get my dua? Astaghfirullah. This is a unique line of tasawwuf. The principles are unique. The line is unique. The actions are unique. Very unique. So, the Naqshbandi Sheikh, subhanAllah, if your teacher, he has such a style, he gives suddenly. Yes, because there's a Farsi, Persian, poet. The Naqshbandi Sheikh, he takes even the people through the back route to the Khanqa, subhanAllah, that the student doesn't even know he's reached that level. So as a hadith I was sharing with you earlier, isn't it? The Sahabi came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a companion, and subhanAllah, the Sahabi, and he went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he served the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He did some service, and the Rasulullah said, tell me, what do you want? Subhanallah. Yes, he didn't ask for Jannah Paradise. What did he say? He said, I want your company, O Prophet of Allah, in the hereafter. Sahabi's name, I can't remember it now, the companion. And mashallah, the question he put forward, the request. So the Sahabi, they all put questions and requests, O Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the best Islam, what is the best Islam? The high quality, you know, we want high quality car. We want a high quality car. What's the best quality? What's the best car nowadays? I want that. Which car model has just been manufactured and rolled out? What's the house today that people are buying that will get cheap and nice according to our mind? So this Sahabi, he wanted the high level Islam. High quality Islam. The doors open right now. Whatever comes from the blessed tongues of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then it will become the best and highest quality deed. Whatever comes from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, apart from wahi, nothing comes from his blessed tongue. So whatever comes, that will become ala, the high quality, best. Even if it wasn't best before, but whatever he says now will become the best Islam. So the whole ummah, this Sahabi's question, he has given us the success. Do you want this now or not? The best Islam. Do you want it? Then read this hadith. Study this hadith. Look at this hadith. Is there anything hidden in Islam? Sahih Muslim, Sahih Bukhari hadith I'm sharing with you from the Sahabi. The respected scholars are present. Ask them the question. They will tell you this hadith is sahih, authentic. So then what Islam are we running around looking for, studying? Then when you get the right Islam, the best Islam, then you'll be the best Muslim. If you got the best Islam, then you'll become the highest quality Muslim. If you get the highest quality Islam, you'll become the best highest grade Muslim. If you become the highest grade Islam and Muslim, then you'll get the highest grade in Jannah Paradise. It's a sequence. Then why are we crying and complaining? Yes, whenever you come say, oh please do dua for me, oh please do dua for me. What's this to talk about? You don't want to go beyond dua, oh please do dua for me, Allah gives tawfiq, inshallah I'll be fine after that, please do dua for me. Don't you want to go beyond that? What Pendu's villages we are, backward. You understand Pendu? Backward villages we are. Yes, that means ignorant person, illiterate. Literally, the whole deen is being presented to us. Imagine the great achievement of the Sahaba. So easy they made Islam for us, but we don't want that Islam. And the Holy Prophet ﷺ, and it wasn't the Sahaba when he was responding, he was looking far and wide to all the Mujahidat. That if he said that this is the great deed for the Mujahid, for the Sahaba this was nothing at all. Yes, they would take their life in their hands already, and what's most precious for us. They used to take that in their hands. They'll have given us an opportunity, Ya Rasulullah, we'll give our all for you, our life. What's left after that? They had nothing left. They were ready to give everything. So, people like us, Pendu, the Prophet ﷺ was looking towards us, backward, illiterate people, the best, highest grade Islam he taught, and he gave us such an easy answer, because it was for us sitting here today. It wasn't a difficult deen that he presented. Shall I tell you this hadith, the answer? Whoever wants the best Islam, the highest quality Islam, the highest grade Islam, put your hands up, so that I can see who wants it, so I can explain to you. Okay, right, put your hands down. MashaAllah, everyone says, I'm grateful there wasn't one man who didn't say that I didn't want it. Everyone put their hands up, MashaAllah. What a beautiful point, isn't it? Rasulullah ﷺ, it's a gift of Ramadan. This is a hadith, gift in Ramadan. Best, highest grade Islam, highest quality Islam. Whoever follows that, he will be the highest quality mu'min, the best mu'min, the greatest mu'min. And then Jannah for him will be the highest grade Jannah, the highest grade paradise, and he'll get the highest grade, MashaAllah, rewards there. Everything you'll get in paradise will be highest quality, greatest, best. And how many days are left? Ayyamu madudat. Only a few days left in life, I tell you. Only a few days left. Close your eyes and just contemplate someone 70 years, 80 years, 90 years old. Just like that he's going to go. Click of the fingers. 30 years. Fortunate are those people who are sat here right now with us still. Fortunate. With the black beards, they're young. What a message. Right now, change your life. If you're a youth, if you're a youngster, change yourself now. This is the field, you have an open playing field, you have a lengthy life ahead of you. Allah has given you lengthy decades maybe. Very happy. I'll be the black beards, you got youngsters and you're sat here now listening. I'm so happy. There's nobody here to disturb you now. There's no woman here. Because the challenge will come for you future and later in the life, but there's no one here to disturb you now. Yes, so don't go and fall into the traps. Don't forget your sabak. Doesn't matter what challenges come, doesn't matter what wife comes, don't leave the deen. Okay, you understand what I'm saying? Yes, so make sure that you desire deendar. And if it's not a deendar religious woman who comes in your destiny, then make her religious, because then she's very strong, mashallah. She'll support you. But without deen, the wife, if you get a wife, then make her deendar. Then straight she will travel towards Allah. She straight runs towards Allah. We say that first we want deendar fully Islamic, then we'll marry her, foolish people. You won't always get that. Then she goes off the tracks. It's not always necessary. If Allah gives you a wife who isn't on the deen, then make her deendar, make her religious. Encourage her. And the easy way to do that, I'll tell you that. How to make your wife religious. I'll tell you, very quickly she'll become deendar. No, a second will it take. Rather, she'll make her whole family deendar as well, religious. But this man's very good. He's a very good man, this husband to be. One woman, I don't know if she's listening right now, sister, and she took bayah. She took bath. I said, why are you taking bayah? She said that I had no desire to take bayah. I was just useless. I wasn't successful. I didn't know what is dhikr, mujahidah. This sister is telling me, I didn't have no knowledge, and the youngsters I'm talking about, so let me give them a bit of advice and encouragement. Oh, if you're getting a partner of Rabia Basri, I want a pious Rabia Basri. We got these conditions. Dirty, impure, sinful, doesn't matter. Accept it. End of story. Yes, let's start the journey of life, mujahidah. Make your life difficult for deen of Islam. Struggle. Very easy to improve your wife. Very easy. Yes, I said, why are you taking bayah to the sister? She said, bayah, pledging allegiance, I had no desire, no passion, no knowledge. I didn't know about this. Yes, nor did I want to become improved and a better person. I just had a normal life. And if I sometimes pray salah, sometimes leave salah, then I said, now? She said, it's your great miracle achievement. I said, what's my achievement? What have I achieved? She said that such a man came to me in my life. Such a man came to me in my life, my partner, my husband, that my life changed. I said, why? She said, such a man I've never seen before. One woman, she's talking about husband, she's praising him. Listen to this. And she's young. She said, such a man I've never seen. I said, why? That he never gets angry. Subhanallah. I said, doesn't matter how much I pester him, but he always smiles and laughs. So great his character is, my husband. She said, I'm amazed. There's such a akhlaqi, his conduct, character. Then she said a unique story. She said that he will never ever complain that I've just taken a favor from him, and a brilliant favor I've taken from him. And he gave his sacrifice for them. And he's supporting me. He's got a great character. Big burden I've given to him. I said, and he never says nothing back to me. He never says, take bayah, go to my sheikh, my teacher. He never forces me. But one thing I've seen in him, she said, that he always gives his all for you, oh sheikh. He gives his all for you. So we also have people like this, mashallah, in our jama'ah. Mashallah, they have good, precious pearls within the jama'ah. We have mashallah pearls, we have pearls. And they're hidden, you won't even know the name. You won't even know his name. Such a precious pearl he is, shining pearl. And by chance, that time when his wife took bayah, then one night before that brother, just suddenly I thought about that brother. Unique, I never thought about him. I said, where is that brother? I've never seen him. Where's he gone, that man? That brother, and such love he had for his sheikh, he was embedded in his heart, the love of his sheikh. This is bayah. This is called bayah. Connection with the teacher. Hidden. Nobody knew about him. Where is he? MashaAllah, in all the majalis is there, but nobody gives him any regard. I said, huh? This is the story of your husband? She said that his character is so great, he has a sahib. I can't tell you that I couldn't even imagine that I've given any pain to him, any difficulty to him, trouble. I'm the one who gives him trouble. And that human being is like this. And he's changed my life. SubhanAllah. She said this. She, in front of me, to commit a sin, I cannot dare to sin in front of him. That's how great he is. I feel ashamed sinning in front of me, she said. In front of my husband. So today I've made a decision that I want to change my life, and I'm going to live my life with my husband like this now. This is mujahida, isn't it? Effort. So mashallah, true tawbah she's done. How this man improved his woman, his wife. The character of the human being is such a fantastic thing that this, the greatest tabligh he can do is with his character. And ours, why are people not improved around us? From here, a great lengthy speeches, conferences day and night, this member is used for speeches and lectures. But why don't people's hair stand on end? Why are people not being improved? Why? Because people want examples, role models through which the deen spread. Yes, and the nomads, the villagers, the illiterate people would never accept Islam. They would never have come into Islam. And they didn't accept Islam. The illiterate people, the people who lived in the deserts, but their heart attested, their tongues couldn't speak, but their hearts were filled with darkness, takabbur and riya, but wouldn't let the deen come into their mouths. But the first and the biggest word that Allah Ta'ala gave to the last Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and through which how he changed the people, that such a severe nation of people, they were never confronted, and no Prophet before that was confronted with such severe people with dark hearts. No Nabi had such an experience. Difficult nation. Yes, and great ummahs came before that, big ummahs, but they weren't that severe and rigid like the Arabs. It was very difficult to change them. Yes, and they couldn't change from the Quran, nor through Salah, nor through prostration. Just one thing changed them. What was that? The Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's excellent character changed them. Upon which Hazrat Khadija became the ashik, the lover of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Yes, she said, I sacrifice everything for the character of my Prophet. That such is great, so great is this man, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. Am I right or wrong? One direction he showed, one example he showed, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. One direction, that was akhlaq, his excellent manners and conduct. Today, if we also improve our akhlaq, our conduct and manners, with our tongues we don't say bad to anyone, we don't disown anyone, we're not rude to anyone, we make people happy, and we consider a person weak and leave him. وَقَالُوا سَلَامًا. What a great, great point of the Quran. That this is the walis of Allah, their quality, Allah Ta'ala is explaining. That whenever anyone quarrels or argues and hits, he says, no, it's fine. Salam, salam, you're right, you're in the right. I won't say nothing to you. That I don't want to take revenge on you. 1%, if today Muslim has this akhlaq, this conduct, I swear by Allah, that he can bring revolution in the society. Transformation. Am I right or wrong? Tell me. Yes, when he was asked, the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, What is the best Islam? What is the best deen? Afzal, greatest deen, Islam is what? The Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say in response? Prostrate, pray salah, tahajjud, umrah, do this, do that, do this action, nothing at all. He stated, you know if you don't know, whether it's your enemy or your friend, say salam to the people on gain. Say salam, spread peace. Is this difficult? Difficult? The hardest ibadah is this ibadah, worship. And it's the easiest ibadah, but yet most difficult for us. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. This ibadah worship is what the walis of Allah, the Naqshbandi Shaykh teaches in the Khanqah. This is the ibadah that is taught. Here the enemies of Hazrat Sahib, here's the enemies of Hazrat Sahib, here's the enemies of Hazrat Sahib. Against all four corners there were enemies of Hazrat Sahib. Opposed. But the Murid has love for his Shaykh, isn't it? He said, no, we'll get them out. Hazrat Sahib smiling. He said to Hazrat Sahib, he said, no. Hazrat Sahib said, is this my Khanqah or your Khanqah? Hazrat Sahib, is your Khanqah. Then why have you got any pain? Let them come if they're opposed to me. Let them come. Hazrat Sahib said, if he's Shia, let him come. Wahhabi, he's a Wahhabi, let him come. Brelwi, he's a Brelwi, let him come. What problem, difficulty, pain is given to you? It's between me and him, our relationship. Don't touch the people, those guests who come to me. Don't say anything to anyone. Subhanallah. Hazrat Sahib used to say this in response. And those same people I saw in the hands of Hazrat Sahib, they took bayah. The same people. One individual, amazing, oh Shaykh, oh look, I'll see. I said, what? The disrespect, don't be disrespectful, I'll take you to Hazrat Sahib. He said, take me to Hazrat Sahib. I said, you are Sayyid, I respect you. Otherwise, you haven't seen the Wali Allah, you're talking so much nonsense. Oh, I've seen many Walis of Allah, oh, they're false, they're liars. Oh, Makkah Murkabala, one person said this to me. He was a colleague, their colleague. He was saying these things. I said, okay, well, let's do it. I'm going to Pakistan. You can travel with me if you to see my Shaykh. He said, okay, I'll go with you. Even though he harbored many doubts. Because rude people are rude, aren't they? Yes, but I know. I knew that bigger than akhlaq, there's no greater asset than akhlaq in the life of a person. Those who have akhlaq, the noor that comes from his faith, from his face, you can't even withstand that. You understand what I'm saying? That's it. So I took him with me to Pakistan. And we reached to the village and I introduced him. I had to meet Hazrat Sahib. I said, get ready to see Hazrat Sahib. He said, what preparation? I said, do I have to buy sweets? He said to me, he's laughing. I said, just prepare yourself for Salah. Yeah, I didn't tell you. I said, to take flowers to Hazrat Sahib. Just get ready for Salah. I said to him, what preparation do I have to make? He couldn't understand. That's the people like that. They don't understand what's a Shaykh. You know, they think it's just a normal peer. And today, majority is people like that. Isn't it? Like Gadi Nashin, we say, those people who are buying inheritance, they get the seat and the position. But the real Shaykh, nobody wants to go to a real, genuine Shaykh. So he was with me. He went, and Hazrat Sahib was present there. And first, when he saw Hazrat Sahib, I saw him just suddenly a jolt. He was surprised. Then after that, mashallah, we stood for Salah. And he stood at the side during Salah. I stood to the side as well. And then Hazrat Sahib led the Salah. He was Imam. Hazrat Sahib was Imam. Did the Imam. Many namaz and Salah prayed behind Hazrat Sahib. Sometimes when Hazrat Sahib would lead Fajr, Ya Ayyuhal Muzammil, Surah Muzammil. Subhanallah, such beautiful recitation Hazrat Sahib had. Not eloquence, but a unique recitation, unique voice. And when Hazrat Sahib used to lead Fajr Salah, beautiful Salah it was. Then, so great Wali Allah leading Fajr Salah, Quran recitation, we're listening behind. And after he recited, Hazrat Sahib's style was what? That he would recite, and then after Salah, he would wrap himself with his cloak, his sheet, and start muraqabah straight away after Salah, after the nothing else to say after that. And all the students behind in the Khanqah, Hazrat Sahib would lead Salah, turn after Salah, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum, turn around, wrap his cloak around him, and muraqabah. And then his eyes would open when the sun's rays would spread, and then he would read Ishraq Salah. Imagine the scene in the Khanqah. Imagine the scene. And 2 hours muraqabah, 2 hours, we wouldn't even know how the time is passing. This was solid, just a palm mat, straw mat. And the candle would be flickering and the oil lamp, and we'd start this work after Fajr Salah. You know the oil lamp? The oil lamp, like the candle lamp. And the straw palm mat on the ground. It was winter months. and there'll be the straw palm curtain, and sometimes a breeze would flow in the palm curtain. We're immersed in muraqabah, we're pulling on the fares from the waliullah in muraqabah. Imagine the scene. Yeah, this fakir, this is how I attained tarbiyah and education in my Shaykh's khanqah. And what great fares, blessings of Hazrat Sahib, my teacher. Hazrat Sahib attained, learnt his fares, got his fares from Saharanpuri, from Hazrat Saharanpuri, direct fares from Saharanpuri. He spent his early life, decades, that's where he got his tarbiyah, Hazrat Saharanpuri, Hazrat Yahya Sahib, Hazrat Thanvi Sahib. That's where his life was spent, his early life. Such direct fares I attained from my Shaykh who got that from Saharanpur. SubhanAllah, imagine. You understand the connection? This is Allah's ahsan favor on us. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. It's Allah's immense favor. And you are also not less, mashallah, you are also pulling on the fares now, mashallah. So Hazrat Sahib's fares is coming to me and it's coming to, it's going into you, the fares. There's no difference, is there? The same fares. The same fares, Hazrat Sahib's fresh, Hazrat Thanvi Sahib's fares, Hazrat Saharanpuri Sahib's fares. Direct it came to Hazrat Sahib, to me, and it's direct going to you. Yes, but that much is going to you, the amount, your demand, your aqeedah, your belief, your conviction, your certainty, that's how much you will pull. And if you drop the curtains and the veils, then you'll get more faith. But don't let the veils be in between, the barrier. Remove the veil, strengthen your aqeedah, your love, your yaqeen, certainty, conviction, belief in the Shaykh. See how the faith comes to you, but remove the veils. So what baya, what a beautiful Islam Rasulullah has taught to us. Tell me that every Shaykh, you can attain that from every teacher. True Shaykh, complete Shaykh. Yes, if any enemy wants to come to Islam, see how can he run away from Islam, if he has sincerity. Yes, won't all the quarrels end? No, I'm not going to say Islam to him. I don't need to say Islam to him. I'm not going to show my face to him. I'm not going to do this. Allahu Akbar, he's praying tahajjud. Allahu Akbar, subhanallah. Yes, and how will we get Islam? Through spreading peace. And he wants to get Islam through tahajjud. Why? What's the reason behind it? Because Islam is saying salam to people, spreading the peace and salam will show that your Islam is pure and is sincere. And Allah doesn't want your tahajjud. Allah wants a pure and clean heart in which there's no malice towards anyone, no hatred towards anyone, no disagreement against anyone, no enmity towards anyone. Even against the enemy, there should be an enmity in your heart. Rather, you should forgive in such a way that you ask Allah to elevate his status. This is your enemy we're talking about. Yes, there are witnesses amongst us, our friends, mashallah, who did this, who do this. They know purposely, they see with their eyes that he's my enemy. He's doing everything against me. He did this and this happened in front of us. But we embrace him and we embrace him such and accept him and give love to him. We don't keep enmity with anybody. No enmity. The enmity, we need to end it to give salam to everyone. Rasulullah said, give salam to everyone. Spread salam. We're selected in it. Oh, no, he's going to do something for me. Oh, he's going to rub my back. Oh, he's going to give me a visa. He's going to give me money. Oh, sit behind him and press his legs. Oh, give salam. Not this salam. Not salam. Don't say salam alaikum to those you want something from. Give a salam alaikum to those that you have no need or necessity from. For the sake of Allah, assalamu alaikum, brother. Because Islam teaches us, spread salam. Spreading salam, propagating salam is a dua. It's a dua. Because when you go to an enemy, will you ever give him dua? Then may Allah give you peace and well-being and goodness. Will you ever do salam for that person? Would you ever for an enemy? Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu wa maghfiratuhu. Would you say this to your enemy? And the enemy, will you say this to your enemy? Oh, he done this to me, he said this to me, I'm going to take revenge, I'm not going to show my face, he did this to me, he did that to me. Oh, Allah says, forget that. Spread salam, mercy, maghfirah, forgiveness. And when you do it for the sake of Allah to someone, even if he's your enemy, then before your dua for him is accepted, your duas will be accepted, Allah says. Your duas will be accepted. This is, don't select who you're going to give salam to. Oh, he's in my halaqah, he's in our jamaat, he's a friend with me. Oh, he's a murid of this person. Oh, he's going to do this for me, he's going to do this for me. Oh, he's a stranger, don't say salam to him. Oh, I'm going to go in to do this for me. Oh, my worldly assets. Oh, assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. Are you okay? How are you? Has your family have tea with me? Because you know behind that you've got a task of the dunya you want him to do for you. Salam, give salam to that person who doesn't even say salam to you. Fakir. He doesn't even look at you twice. Say salam to him. Second action. For the best Islam. Do you understand now? Step number one. What's the ibadah? Yes. Do this action. Second action, first action was spread salam, give salam to people. Second is action was two things that Rasulullah told us in this deed. The second action for the best Islam is give to and feed the miskeen, those who are in need. Who? Miskeen. Say loudly who? Not the poor person, not fakir, not the beggar. Remember this, I'm teaching and educating you this point. What did Rasulullah say? Not to the poor person, not to the beggar, not to those you don't know, strangers. Who to? Miskeen. Fill his stomach, the man in need, dire need. Any miskeen, anyone who's in need, say subhanallah. You understand this education? Every man is not a miskeen. Every poor person is not miskeen. Every beggar is not miskeen. Yes, remember this education. Yes, whose order is coming? Whose instruction? Who do we give priority to? Miskeen. Miskeen. Those who are in need at that moment in time. At that point in time. But we don't know how to look for those in need because we've never bumped into a miskeen. We've never seen a miskeen. Shall I tell you who's a miskeen? Subhanallah. Miskeen are those people, when you see their face, you remember Allah. They are the miskeen. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, Janabi Ali, my dear colleagues. Miskeen are those people. What do you say? Saposh. What do we say? What's the word? I can't. It's not coming to me. What's that word? Safed posh, mashallah. Well done, well done. Jazakallah. Those people who are. They don't ask from you. They don't run after you. They don't beg for you. They don't request from you. They are hesitant. They won't make it apparent. They're in need. They have poverty and hunger at home. But they don't tell anyone their secret. They're in difficulty. They don't make it apparent. They are very, you could say, pious and righteous and high dignity and respect and honor. You understand what I'm saying? They just have a connection with their Rabb and they request to their Rabb. They are so hidden. And they have honor and dignity and respect. Yes, and they don't have the habit of running after people and asking and begging. They're hidden. But they are in need at that time. They don't tell anyone their pain. They have young sons and daughters. But they'll never say to anyone they're in need, that we're poor, we're in need. And tahajjud time, they request and beg to Allah. They have poverty in their home. They have nur on their face due to the ibadat. Yes, and if you give them zakat, khairat, TV and phone, they don't want these things. Yes, they just want to fulfill their necessities of life and that's it. Nothing beyond that. They don't buy machines and products and devices and run businesses. No, they have tawakkal Allah. They rely on Allah. So look for a person like this, then I can say to you that you're doing the right work of the deen. When you are looking for such a person, I swear by Allah, you also overcome a wali Allah if you seek a person like that to help. Such families, they are present around us. They are families, people in need. They have needs, but we don't know their needs. Yes, that don't their children have desires and needs? In their hearts, don't you know the secret of theirs? They also want to have a good life, a comfortable life. You close your eyes, look around. Oh, I'll give to this person langar food in the masjid. They're coming, drinking, eating. This is not charity. Just feeding people who are... Allah Ta'ala's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, The best Islam, the greatest Islam is this, that such a servant of Allah, look for him and serve that person. Serve that person. And don't think it's a favor on them. Don't tell them, don't remind them. Don't go in front of them. Don't let them feel that you're helping them, assisting them, subhanAllah. Do you understand what points I'm telling you? Do you understand what is Islam? No, we don't want this. This ibadah, if you do it, alhamdulillah, if you do this worship, then you will realize that Islam, what is the taste of Islam? What is the taste of Islam? May Allah Ta'ala give to all of us the tawfiq ability. That's it. Sahih al-Bukhari hadith came to my mind, alhamdulillah. I am not capable, but I try to explain this to you, this hadith. That the feet of the pious predecessors, the respected. This is what I learned, but the scholars can explain to you more in detail, but the broken down, the expression that I've given in front of you, I've shared with you, that I learned at the feet of the pious predecessors, that what is Islam? Dunya, mashallah, Allah has given us great places and sources. Allah has taught us the deen. Allah has given us paradise through great means. From many sources we can attain paradise. Yes, remember, through wherever you will have to go to paradise, so great will be that path. But right now, this hadith, there's many thoughts coming to my mind just on this hadith. I could tell you so many other points on this hadith, but time is short and I don't want to take too much of your time. But alhamdulillah, my heart is so full right now with the explanation of this hadith, to explain this hadith. My heart's full. Lots of enjoyment is coming to me. So much happiness is coming to me in study, discussing this hadith. What words of the Holy Prophet ﷺ there. Yes, that tell the people the deen, this is my Islam. And he taught this to his blessed companions. Anyhow, ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِهِ مَيْشَادِ صَلَاتِ فَضَلْ His generosity, that he gives us understanding, wisdom. Don't waste your life, my friends, don't waste your lives. Don't live a fake life, come out of the fake life. Come to the reality life, look for real Jannah, real deen. Look for the real Jannah, paradise. You get that? When you crush yourself, suppress yourself, lower yourself, you crush your desires, your ego, your wants and needs, then you will get this paradise. From small things, you don't get Jannah. Yeah, from wazaif and prayer recitation, you don't get Jannah. From the company of the wali of Allah, you get Jannah, paradise. Do you understand this point today? Yes, that's it. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the ability to practice upon what we've discussed. Okay, what's the time today? 20? 27. Okay. Right, inshallah we'll be able to manage that. That's fine. Recite the ritual.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى صحبه قبولیت کی گھڑی ہے اپنے لیے امت کے لیے بیماروں کے لیے دعا فرمائیں ایک خاتون نے ہمارے حلقے کی بولٹن کی ان کے کل آپریشن ہے بہت بڑا آپریشن ہے ان کا اور اس مرض سے اللہ تعالیٰ موذی مرض ہے ان کا کینسر کا اللہ تعالیٰ ان کو نجات دے اور ان کا آپریشن جو بھی کامیاب ہو اللہ تعالیٰ ان کو اپنے گھر والوں کی اپنے خاندان کی خوشیاں نصیب فرمائے وصلی اللہ تعالیٰ علی خیر خلقہ محمد علیہ صحابہ اجمعین برحمتک یا ارحم الراحمین سبحان ربک رب العزت عما یصفون سلام علی المرسلین الحمد للہ